Good evening. I got no wigs. I'm going to keep my shirt on. I just feel like this is a real letdown. But my not keeping my shirt on would be a greater letdown, so let's just keep it like it is. We're going to talk about being strong and courageous tonight from Joshua chapter 1. I want us to kind of back up just a second. We'll set a little background for Joshua, and we'll talk about what gets us to Joshua chapter 1. And it goes back to a promise made to Abraham. And for theologians, the question is, how did this nomad and his God El changed the world when every nomad or most of the nomads had some God to which they worshiped? But here we have Abraham, who the three major world religions will all take their roots back to Abraham. Obviously, Judaism and Christianity and Islam will all go back to Abraham as the individual who received the promise from God. Here's a man who was a shepherd, a nomad. He becomes very wealthy for his time, a man of great wisdom, but obviously changed the world because God called him. God found him to be righteous. But what's always been so interesting to me is the great faith that Abraham has without seeing any of the fulfillment in his own life. He does have children, but he doesn't have the multitudes of children. He doesn't see that coming. I mean, it's not like he even started off with a dozen or a half dozen. I mean, you know, he's old and gets one. That's the son of promise. And he doesn't own land. You know, he wanders as a nomad, as a Bedouin, owns a field to which he buries his wife and buries his family, and that's what Abraham owns. But God had promised him a possession of land. Did I share with you all about going to Hebron? In the city of Hebron, which is kind of off the beaten path. In the city of Hebron, the town of Hebron, is a building built 2,000 years ago by Herod the Great, and it is still standing. Now, how many times do you get to go in a 2,000-year-old building? And the building that Herod the Great built prior to the birth of Jesus, just prior to the birth of Jesus, is over the field of Machpelah. And in this building, which is a mosque on one side and a Jewish synagogue on the other side, are the tombs of Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Isaac, and Rebekah. And that building is 2,000 years old. That, at least they believed, and historians believe, is fairly accurately the place where they're buried. And that's all Abraham ever owned. And it's a building altogether about the size of our buildings. Maybe not quite that large. But there are, within the building, you know, monuments are almost like tents that are over because it's several feet down where the graves of the patriarchs are. And so, the Muslims and the Jews and Christians will go to where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are buried. But Abraham is the individual who received the promise, and what did he do? He followed God. He followed God. And while he never saw the fulfillment of all the promises, Abraham left a legacy for his descendants. And you know, as I was reading and studying for this lesson and reading some of the commentaries And the writer wrote, you know, Abraham left a legacy for his descendants. I thought, how important that was. That Abraham, even though it's going to be hundreds of years, over 400 years from Abraham to going into the land of promise, that Abraham left this legacy. Abraham followed God. Abraham believed God and did what God called him to do. And even though he couldn't see it all, he believed, and God continued to work through his descendants, and now they're going to enter the land of promise. This is what God had promised Abraham. One of the promises, again, this is the land promise. By this time, they have become very numerous, and later, the promise that through your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed, will be fulfilled in the coming of Jesus the Messiah. So now Abraham's descendants through Isaac are getting ready to go into the land of Canaan, the land of promise, the land that flows with milk and honey. And it really is a very fertile place. It is dry, and probably drier now than it was at the time that Israel goes into the land, just because, you know, things change. But it still grows a lot of stuff. I mean, it reminds me, not as lush, but if you've been to the Amish country in Pennsylvania, you know, where everything is neat, almost no fences, and there's a cornfield, and there's about this wide, and a bean field starts, and it's all very clean, and it's all, I mean, every inch of ground is used. It's kind of very much the same way. Everything very organized, and they're using lots of things, but they grow all kinds of things. And you remember, prior to getting here now, we have the nation of Israel, the Hebrews, actually developed where? In Egypt. 70 folks go into Egypt when Joseph is there. And it's Joseph's family, right? It's his father, his brothers, their families that go into Egypt. And now, here we are 400 years later, a little over 400, that they're going to come out at the time of the Exodus, 430. They're going to come out of Egypt, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions. A lot of scholars believe it was about 2 million. By the counts that they took, about 2 million of the Israelites who come out of Egypt. And they're going to go now to the land of promise because Moses has been raised up to deliver them from the captivity and take them in to the land of promise, to lead them in to what God had promised them. And God says, I've heard your cry. And so Moses is raised to deliver them. But what happens to Israel is now they're on the verge of going into the land of promise. What happens to them? Well, Moses dies, and we're jumping ahead a little bit. Why does Moses dies before Moses dies before he ever comes into the land of promise? He dies east of the Jordan, in the mountains there of Moab. Moses dies because he had been disobedient to God and had struck the rock when he was supposed to speak to it and had claimed kind of with God the power, you know, will bring forth water. And so he's unable to go into the land of promise. But we're 40 years after the Exodus. We're 40 years after the Exodus. It's not far from Egypt to the land of promise. And we know that why. Because that's where in the time of famine, Joseph's brothers go back and forth. Just a few days to make that journey. It's where Abraham goes in time of famine. Remember, Abraham goes to Egypt. And you remember they find Sarah very beautiful, and Pharaoh actually takes her in as his wife until they find out they receive curses because of that. And, you know, they're angry with Abraham and give him gifts and says, take Sarah and go. When Jesus is born and Herod not Herod the Great, but Herod's son, kills all the babies 2 years old and under. Remember that when the wise men don't come back? And so where does Joseph take Mary and Jesus? To Egypt. It is the place where they go for refuge. So it's not a long journey. But we're 40 years from the Exodus, the beginning of the Exodus, to the time of Joshua. What happened? They did, why? That's exactly, why, that's, I want to go back to why. What happened, Steve? That's right. They send 12 spies into the land, if you will remember, to look at the land. And again, the land is fertile. And the cities are fortified. They're walled cities. And the spies go, what have they just witnessed? Remember this now. What have the spies just witnessed? The parting of the Red Sea. The Egyptian army being swallowed up in the sea, that at the night when they're against the sea while they're crossing, what happens? There's a barrier that keeps the Egyptians off of them. They see the plagues brought on the Egyptians that pass over them, right? From the death of the firstborn to the hail to the frogs to the lice to the blood to the flies. They see all of God's power, right? They've seen all of that. And yet when they get ready to go into the land, they're afraid. They are afraid. They say, these folks are giants. We look like grasshoppers to them. And not only are the people strong, the cities are strong, and the land is wild. I mean, the land itself would swallow us up. They're just chickens. I don't know how you say it any other way. You need to realize they're afraid, and once they get afraid, it doesn't matter after that what all the reasons are. They are afraid. These are grown people, grown men who have been in slavery, and they're afraid, and they don't want to go into the land. Joshua and Caleb say, we can take the land. Here we are now, 40 years later. There are only two adults who are going to cross the Jordan, who left Egypt, and they are Joshua and Caleb. That's it. Everybody else has died in the desert in the last 40 years. But now we're ready to go. Moses can't go, and Joshua is now going to be the leader of Israel. Joshua saw the power of God at the Exodus, parting of the Red Sea. It is Joshua who was the only individual who was able to touch Mount Sinai when Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. Remember, Joshua was able to go halfway up. Couldn't go all the way up. But it's Joshua who is Moses' assistant. It is Joshua who Moses chooses an assistant, and then it is God who says, Joshua is going to lead my people, Moses, after you're gone. And so they take Joshua to the priest, and he is anointed, and he is presented to the people as being Moses' successor, and that the Spirit of God was going to be on Moses like it was on, it was going to be on Joshua like it was on Moses. And not only was the Spirit of God, Numbers will tell us, on Moses, it's going to be on Joshua, but it was on those men that Moses had selected to help lead Israel, and to govern over them and to judge them. And that's really interesting, because we kind of think about the Spirit being strictly a New Testament thought, but that's exactly what it says in the Old Testament. So now Moses is gone in the preparation of Joshua to lead, and Joshua's going to lead the people. And we're going to see Moses kind of give a charge and talk to Joshua, and Joshua to prepare to take leadership in the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy. We're going to see almost the same words in Joshua chapter 1. And what we're going to see in Deuteronomy 31, and what we're going to see three times in Numbers or in Joshua chapter 1, is Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous, God says to Joshua, as you prepare to take these people into the land of promise. 2.5 tribes are going to stay east of the Jordan. They decide to stay, not to cross the Jordan, but they're going to take land inheritance east of the Jordan. But what do they have to do? Do you remember? Moses told them. Joshua reminds them. The men, the women and children can stay, but the men have to go ahead of their countrymen, of their brothers, and go into the land of promise, and they have to fight with them until all of the land is taken, what Joshua will say, until God gives your brothers rest as he has given you east of the Jordan. So they have to go in and fight as they're going to take the land. And so they are going to have to fight, right? Because sometimes when we think about them crossing in to the land and we're familiar with what's the first city they're going to, Jericho. First city that they're going to go to is the city of Jericho. And we know what happens in Jericho. They don't know at this point what's going to happen in Jericho. But we know what happens, that the walls fall. But Israel is going to have to fight to take the land. But who's going to go ahead of them? Who's going to bless them? God is. God is. And so when we think about God going ahead of them and all that they have seen of the power of God, what do you kind of want to think? What are you afraid of? Isn't that what kind of comes to your mind as you read the story? I mean, hey, he took you out of Egypt. He delivered you. You've seen this. He's provided food for you in the desert. Your clothes haven't even worn out while you're in the desert. He's provided everything. So what are you afraid of? But God repeatedly says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. There's a lesson in that, not only for Joshua, but for all of us, and we all know it's true, that even though we trust in God, and some of us are at different points, all of us are at different points in our lives, in our faith, but even when we know God and trust Him to be with us and to provide for us, there are times in our lives when we are still afraid. We're still afraid. Because here's Joshua, who was willing to stand against everybody else to go into the land. Here's Joshua who's seen God's power. Here's Joshua who's been prepared for this. But God keeps reminding him, be strong and courageous. And he says something else. Do not get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. If I tell you, as I prepare you for a mission, a job, a task, don't get discouraged, what do you know I'm anticipating? Difficulty. It's going to be difficult. Now that's really interesting, because God says, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going before you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you victory. But even for the people of God, when God is with us, there are still difficulties in life, even when God is leading and bringing about victory. And sometimes we don't like that. We know in our hearts it's true, but what do we really want? We don't want to worry about being discouraged. We don't want anything discouraging to occur. Isn't that what I really want? I don't want there to be anything discouraging. God, if you'll take care of things like I think you ought to take care of things, my being discouraged ain't going to be an issue. Let's be honest. That's what we desire. That's what we want, and sometimes that's what we think ought to be. But God, who knew full well that He was keeping a promise that was hundreds of years old, and He had made sure it was going to happen and continued to make sure it was going to happen. He knew He was going ahead of the people. He knew He could bring about victory. But He still knew that because of who God is and His justice and free will, and because of the world and the state that it's in, that there were going to be things happen that were discouraging. And he says to Joshua, do not get discouraged. Do not get discouraged. Be strong and courageous, and do not be discouraged. Here's a man chosen by God, a man of tremendous faith and valor and bravery. And God says, be strong, be courageous, and do not get discouraged. That's great advice for all of us, isn't it? While our positions are different than that of Joshua, all of us have a role to fill, a part to play, something that we're supposed to do in our service to God and of our families and our communities. We need to be strong and courageous and trust God. And even in believing in God and trusting Him, there are discouraging events and occurrences and times in our lives. Some of them because of the decisions that we make, some of those because of the decisions others make, and some of those because of the circumstances that we just find ourselves in. Now, they're going to cross the Jordan. We believe that they crossed the Jordan about where we had the baptism, where Paul and Houston were baptized. We believe, or historians believe, that that's where Jesus was baptized, very close to that, and that's where Israel crossed, because Jericho is just right there. So they're just across, and they're going to cross into Jericho, going to cross the end and encircle Jericho. And so they're going to cross this barrier, this river, and go in to the land of promise. And they do, and they take the city. And I think that's somebody else's lesson. So I'm not going to talk about taking the city. But you already know, I'm not telling you the story. I cannot give away the Hunger Games, because I have never seen it. So I don't know any of the folks. It was still funny, but I don't know, you know. I'm a little worried about some of our children. Steve is very worried. We're going to probably have some prayer time together over what's happened to our young people here. But I've never seen the Hunger Games, nor have I read the books. So I don't know about that. But we know what happens at Jericho, don't we? But then, what immediately happens after Jericho? They're going to go to the city of Ai, and it's spelled just the way it sounds. And what happens at Ai? They get whipped. They get whipped at Ai. Why? Achan is the problem at Ai, because when they take Jericho, they're not supposed to take any of the spoils of the city. And Achan does and hides it in his tent. Okay? And so they're defeated at Ai. That would be discouraging, wouldn't it? It would be discouraging. And it would cause us to be afraid. And when they find out what happened, it probably helps. But here you're Joshua leading the people. And man, you have this tremendous victory at Jericho. And then all of a sudden, you come to Ai, which is a weaker city. I mean, it should have been not a big deal. And you get beat. And you find out, one, you're just discouraged, because what happens anytime that you lose? Second guessers, right? Now remember, because we saw it with Moses, you know what happens with Joshua. What happens to the people? As long as you're winning, you're the hero, right? But you don't have to lose too long to become the goat. And now the people aren't happy again. And Joshua ain't no Moses. You can hear the talk, right? You know, we shouldn't have gone after that city. Blah, 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 whatever the talk is. That's discouraging. Then the frustration is, God's going to deliver us. God's providing for us. Why in the world did you take the stuff from the city? But doesn't the same thing happen to us? Don't we fight the temptation and sometimes give in to it? Don't we sit, when we look and say, why did you do that? It doesn't make any sense. I never cease to be amazed that as we get occasionally fraud things, where we find out someone was arrested or caught for fraud in an office across the state. Unfortunately, we haven't had that in our county. But the small amount of money someone will take in light of having a good job. We had a trustee who in his first term of being elected took money. His staff thought he was a hard worker, but he was taking money out of the deposit, taking it to the bank every morning, which is segregation of duties and all kind of problems. But it was his first term, and everybody liked him. He'd been a county commissioner. Everybody respected him. And I think it all told, he took $40,000, which is a lot of money. But he's in Lewis County making, I don't know what the Lewis County trustee made, but more than $40,000 a year. And you want to go, you have ruined your reputation. Where are you going to go get a job? Not in any government office anywhere. You've ruined your reputation in Lewis County. You had a good job. You were capable, apparently, of doing the job. And the first term, right off the bat, takes money. It makes me mad. I don't understand it. I'm not talking about whether you're honest or dishonest. It just doesn't make financial sense. You know? And like you're not going to get caught. You know, at the end, the money is not going to balance. Now, you might make it slide for a while, but at the end of the day, it's going to catch you. Well, why do people do what they do? It's discouraging. It discourages us all. And it happens to Israel. Be strong and courageous and do not get discouraged, Joshua. People of Israel, keep pushing on. God, I'm with you. And if you'll follow my laws, I will give you the land. And we're going to talk about that for just a second. In just a second. But even following God, even God being with us, there are things that challenge us, things that can be discouraging, but we have to be courageous. And here's a man, Joshua, who is of great courage and great faith, and God repeatedly says, don't get discouraged. Be strong and courageous. And for us as Christians, we need to be strong and courageous. Paul will write to Timothy, we have been given a spirit of boldness, not of timidity. Right? A spirit of boldness. It's easy to become afraid and discouraged. But as long as we walk with God, God will provide for us and deliver us and bring about victory for us when we're about His business. When we're about His business. Moses, and we know he wrote the first five books of the Bible. And in fact, it talks about him writing down the law and actually putting it in the Ark of the Covenant. And Joshua is reminded, God tells Joshua to continually remember and study and know and read, not only yourself, but to the people, the law of God. What Moses has written. And again, we've talked about this many times. The law is not just the commandments, but the law is the first five books of the Bible, which we'll talk about in the beginning and what God did through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob up through Moses. Remind yourself of these things. Remember my power. Remember what I have done for the people. Remember what I have promised you. And follow God's commands. As Jesus said, and we talked about this morning, the wise man does what? Hears my words and puts them into practice. Put them into practice. And so, Joshua, as you start off, don't forget my laws. Don't forget, one, who I am and what my power is, and don't forget to do what I call you to do, because if you do, if you turn away from me, then what happens? I don't care for you like I did. I don't provide victory for you like I have. You have to keep the covenant. You have to be about doing what I've called you to do. And don't forget it. because it's easy to forget. And that's a lesson that's just as true for us today. To remember what God's will is and to do it. And to constantly be reminded. Constantly be reminded. You think, these people, if anybody should remember, they should remember, right? The tabernacle's right there. They see the fire, they see the cloud. But it's easy to overlook God's power, isn't it? It's easy to forget. And so Joshua, don't forget. Remember these things. Remember what Moses has written and follow it and teach the others. Because their sin, your disobedience will lead to defeat. It will lead to defeat. And so be strong, courageous, and follow my word. Follow my word. Because where are you? Where are they? As Joshua 1 begins, they're about to reach the land of promise that they had been waiting for generations. In fact, Joshua goes and tells the leaders of the people, he says, in 3 days, we're going to cross into the land. They're there. It's what they've been waiting for. They have been in captivity. They have wandered in the desert. I mean, we talk about the wandering, but can you imagine 40 years in the desert? Y'all know me, I can't stand the beach. And partly, I can't stand the sand. Because what happens to sand? It gets everywhere. Does it not? There's no way it gets in your clothes, it gets in your luggage. If you drive your car, you can vacuum for months and it will continue to be in the floorboard, right? It gets in your ears and I don't like it. Can you imagine living in that? And what also happens in there, it's hot. I mean, it's not pleasant. The reason I say that, that's where they've been. They've been wandering. The promise was made to Abraham. They've been looking for it for generation after generation after generation after generation, and they're 3 days from going in. 3 days from what God had promised them, at least part of it, the land inheritance, to start taking this place that's going to be what? Where they're going to be prosperous. It's not just I'm going to own it, but it's good. We're going to have food and home. You know, they hadn't had vineyards. They haven't had olive groves and figs and dates. They've had manna and quail. And remember, they've gotten tired of that. So they're 3 days from what? Going in and taking a land where things are already there. They're going to take over vineyards that are ready to go. Not only with the grapes, but with the presses and everything. They're going to take over from the Canaanite people that are there. They're 3 days from that. And God's reminding them, remember my word, be strong, be courageous, don't get discouraged because you're on the verge of entering into the land that I have promised. A land that flows with milk and honey. That has figs and dates and barley. All right, and wheat. That's what God promises them. And they're about to go in, and he says, be strong and be courageous. Now, where are we? Well, we don't know how many days away we are, but we're closer than we've ever been to the promised home that God has for us. Right? We're closer. And I'm not prophetic. Nor, you know, more and more people think it's soon. It may be soon. Maybe in our lifetimes, it may not be. I don't have a feel for that. Don't really know how to gauge that and don't think it's really my place to do that. But I know, at least for me, I'm a day closer to my rest before the Lord returns if he doesn't return while I'm here. Closer to the promises of God. So just as they were close to going in the land of promise, as we get closer day by day, what should we do? Be strong, be courageous, Don't get discouraged, because there are going to be discouraging things. Remember God's law and keep it. It's the same thing. It's the same message. It's the same thing we're called to, because while the names have changed and the places have changed and the methods have changed, Satan and people and the fallen world is still the same, isn't it? It's still the same. And so we're going to struggle, but be strong, be courageous, because God is the same as well. And just as He gave Israel the land of promise, He'll keep His promises to us. He will. He'll keep His promises. We need to follow Him and be obedient to Him. You do know that Jesus is the New Testament name for the Hebrew name Joshua. And Joshua's name is tweaked, is changed a little bit by Moses. It meant salvation, but Joshua means God will save us. God will save us. That's what his name means. God will save us. Who's going to save Israel? Who's going to give them the land of promise? God is. Who's going to deliver us and give us the land of promise? God is. It's God who saves us. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be discouraged. Follow God's laws. We can remember those and do them. It's what Jesus said today. Hear my words and put them into practice. Then we can stand whatever storms come and be prepared to go into the land that flows with milk and honey. Any questions or comments? I think they're standing at the door. All right, they're going to come back in a moment, and then we'll have some songs.